is beginning to rain, rain, rain to the voice of our Father. Sing, whosoever will come drink of this water. I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas.
Hello, friends. This is Jerry Barrett, the pastor's assistant here at Bible Home Church. Please remember that Bible Home Church operates solely through your love gifts, tithes, and offerings. You can mail a check or money order to Bible Home Church, 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733, or you can donate through PayPal on our website. Don't forget to send in your prayer requests as well. We will be happy to add you to our prayer list, and we greatly appreciate your prayers for us. This week, we continue this series, Hidden Prophecies in the Book of Esther. We pray that you will receive a blessing from Pastor Mars' message. Up next is Cody Johnson with In the Garden, after which we will begin Pastor Mars' sermon.
I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet. Birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
I stay in the garden with him, though the night be falling around me, but he be of woe,
His voice to me is calling, and He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
Hidden prophecies in the book of Esther. One of the most incredible books of prophecy in all of the 66 books of the Bible. In Psalm 9, verse 17, we read, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." I think America has forgotten God, and certainly Israel forgot God millennia ago. The Jews in Israel and in the United States despise the true God, whose Son is Jesus Christ. The Bible says, if you have not the Son, you have not the Father. And your destiny is the wrath of God for those who have not the Son. But do not think at all that America is a Christian nation itself. Not only do we have Jews that do run the White House now and tell George W. Bush what to do, just as they told Bill Clinton what to do, but let's face it, my friends, Washington, D.C. itself is symbolized by the hatred of the true God. Did you know that in Washington, D.C., perhaps the greatest symbol is Washington Monument that towers up toward the heavens? That is nothing more than a phallic symbol of the great Osiris, the god of Egypt. The god of Egypt. It is the obelisk. At Hebrew University in Israel, in the courtyard outside the student library in Union Hall, sits another obelisk, the sign of Egypt. In Rome, outside the Vatican, St. Peter's Cathedral, what sits, what has been erected, but a great Egyptian obelisk. In the cities of London, England, and New York City, in the largest public park in each one of those cities, stands a great monument. It is the Egyptian obelisk. In the park there in New York City, it is known as Cleopatra's Needle. Cleopatra's Needle. The great obelisk. All of these cities are representative of ancient mystery Babylon. But the Bible tells us in the book of Esther, a great and tragic event will occur in the last days, and it is the massacre of all those who oppose the people of the obelisk, the people who despise God. If you are of God, your destiny is to be hated by these people. Who are these people? They are people who have a special holy day each year called Purim, P-U-R-I-M. Now, I mentioned last week that according to Alexander Hislop, his classic book, The Two Babylons, he says that from Babylon came the name Pur or Bur. It means to cast lots, indeed, as it says in the book of Esther, but it also means a time, a festival of human sacrifice, of Holocaust, of the burning, of the purification process through burning or through Holocaust, burnt sacrifice by false religionists. Today, in Jewish synagogues and meeting houses throughout the world on a given day, Each year is the Holy Day Festival of Purim celebrated. It's in honor of Queen Esther's bloody accomplishments. And listen to this. Remember I told you that she was the triangle, that her symbol was the triangle? 666, triple goddess. The triangle, of course, representing the female sex organ. During the festivities of Purim, Jewish children are given little triangle-shaped cookies. In many of the synagogues and meeting places of the Jews throughout the world on this given day, this great holiday Purim, the festival of Esther, these little triangle-shaped cookies that are given to the kids, and of course adults also eat them, they have imprinted or stamped on them the image of a man. And the children take great delight and joy in chopping or biting off the heads of Haman. These are actually called by the Jews Hamantesh, or the flesh of Haman. In eating that cookie, that triangle-shaped cookie, the Jewish children are told that they're eating the very flesh of Haman. It is a ritual sacrifice, and they eat the flesh of their enemy. And of course, they drink a lot of wine. They have parties. I went on the internet and I went to a number of synagogues. You know, they have their own websites now and they tell their people, we're going to do this on this particular day and here's what's going to happen on this particular holiday. These are the websites of synagogues. I decided to see what the synagogues across America would be doing at this year's Festival of Purim. And I found something interesting. They freely admitted we're going to have dancing. We're going to have liquor by the ton. We're going to have a party. And at a certain time, the children are put to sleep or taken home, and the party continues. And I have been told by many reliable sources that the liquor flows at these Jewish meeting places as they celebrate the murder of their enemies, as recorded in the book of Esther. They dance, they drink, they wear costumes. There's unrivaled reveling. Sexual orgies have been known to occur, and worse things occur. And I see on the internet that many Jews say, we only go to the synagogue on one day of the year, Purim. We go to have fun. We go to party. There's wife swapping going on and more. In some of the old textbooks I have read that expose the Jews, it is said that there has been evidence throughout the millennia that Gentile children are kidnapped and ritually sacrificed and their flesh eaten. This is so grotesque that it defies the imagination. But this is especially done by evil Kabbalistic Jewish sects. Barry Kamish, a well-known Jewish writer and researcher. And he is very pro-Israel. He is very pro-Jewish. But he says that there is a satanic sect, the Sabbateans. They have their own Messiah they believe will come back, who was a rabbi who lived way back in the 1600s. They believe he will come back and be the Christ and rule the whole world, and there will be a Jewish utopia. And they are Satanists, these Sabbateans, says Kamish. No doubt, this sect commits itself to the vile act of human sacrifice even to this day during this Holocaust of Purim. Now, I want you to understand something. The Bible makes clear something fascinating. Now, there are a number of Jewish holy days, or I should say the holy days of the Israelites, that are mentioned in the Bible, Passover being one of them. And these days were ordained by God. I have nothing against those days. And if you want to celebrate on those days, that's fine. I don't do that because it's not necessary. When all of those things were like shadows that pointed to the coming of Jesus. And now Jesus is my festival day. The very fact that Jesus is alive and in the world
is what I celebrate each day of the year. But I recognize that the Israelites were given certain high holy days. And Jesus himself gave honor to these holy days. But it's interesting to note that the one day that was not ordained by God that the Jews celebrate is Purim. In fact, in the book of Esther, it says this day was ordained not by God, but by the Jews themselves. This is a great day of celebration of the murder of 75,000 Gentiles by the Jews. And it was not ordained by God, but by the Jews themselves, as it says in the book of Esther. Nor could it ever have been ordained by God, for God is not a God of murder, but of redemption. There could not be a holiday, a celebration like Purim in the Christian religion. Christ Jesus taught us to love our enemies, to pray for them, not to slaughter them, not to take their goods and property for spoil. Christians, my friends, celebrate the birth of Jesus and his resurrection, but we have no Purim, nor could we. The very thought of such a thing is alien to the Christian spirit. Now, last week I talked about what happened in the book of Esther. You'll have to read it for yourself. But I want to point out some of the things of Esther that are very important for us. Remember, Esther volunteered. She and her cousin plotted together to figure out how she could become the queen. A virtuous woman, apparently Vashti, was thrown out. Her crown was taken away from her because she would not do wicked things as demanded by her husband, the king Ahasuerus. And after she was thrown out because of her virtue, then came Mordecai and Esther trying to take the queendom from her. Instead of going to the king and insisting the king take back the woman he had divorced, Vashti, simply because she was virtuous and refused to come out and show her body off to the drunken men at one of the brawling parties of the king, Vashti was thrown out. Her crown was taken away from her, and the king said, "Bring me virgins from throughout the kingdom. We'll have a contest, and I will choose one to be my queen." And I guess Esther said, "I want to be the queen." What she should have been, if she was a holy woman, was going to the king and saying, "You've done wrong." Like Nathan, if you'll remember, if Mordecai was a true man of God and a prophet, would he not have gone to the king and said, "What you did in throwing out Vashti was wrong"? Nathan went and stuck his finger right in King David's face and said, "You have sinned in taking a woman who is not your lawful wife and committing adultery with her and killing her husband so you could have her." That was the prophet Nathan. But Mordecai instead told Esther, "Don't tell anybody you're Jewish. We'll keep that a secret." Why was that? Now, this was before the decision by Haman to kill all the Jews. Even before that, Mordecai told Esther, "Let's keep from knowledge. Don't tell the king that you're Jewish." Why was that? They decided to lie to the king. They started out trying to take the queenship or the queendom that properly belonged to Vashti from her. And through the sexual charms and allure and the beauty of Esther to become the new queen. I think the Bible says something about covetousness, does it not? And Esther was covetous of becoming the queen. She started out with sin and became the concubine, the sexual partner of the king, because she wanted to be queen. And she became queen, this ambitious, murderous Esther. Now, I want you to understand something. A lot of people say, "But didn't she save all of the Jews?" No, she didn't save all of the Jews. What you have to understand was this period of history, the book of Esther, chronicles a period of history after the Jews had returned to Jerusalem. Let me explain that to you. Zerubbabel had already gone back and rebuilt the temple. You see, Cyrus the Great had conquered Babylon. And after 70 years of activity, the Jews were given their freedom. And there was a great pilgrimage of many Jews who had been freed by Cyrus the Great, anointed of God. And after 70 years of captivity in Babylon that were prophesied by Jeremiah, they were free once again to go home. But certain of the Jews didn't want to go home. Just like we're told today that it's God's prophecy and God's desire that all of the Jews throughout the world in this 21st century return to Israel. But the Jews in America don't want to go home. They have riches. They have power. They have political influence. They run Washington, D.C. They own our television networks. They control even Disneyland and Disney World. The richest man in America is a Jew. The second richest man in America is a Jew. The man who owns the largest software company in the world is Bill Gates, a Jew. The man who owns the largest computer company in the world is Michael Dell, a Jew. The men who run the largest banks in America are Jewish. The man who runs the whole banking system is Mr. Greenspan, a Jew. The man who runs the World Bank is Paul Wolfowitz, a Jew. The man who ran the World Bank before Mr. Wolfowitz was Mr. Wolfenson, a Jew. And so they run the whole world through the banks, through the corporations, through the computer and software systems, through the network, and through the White House. And the great symbol of these Sabbatean Jews is the great monument, the obelisk of Egypt, that sits in Washington, D.C. After the Jews were told they could return to Jerusalem, a certain number of Jews said, no, we will not go back. They disobeyed God's intentions. 70 years of captivity God had prescribed for the Jews. But after those Jews went back, many of the Jews said, no, we've got it good. Remember, even Daniel was given great riches. Remember, Daniel was an old man, was given great honor and riches, and became one of the powers of the kingdom. Oh yes, the Jews had riches, and they chose not to go back. They were in disobedience to God, and among them was Esther and Mordecai, disobedient to God, refusing to go back to Israel. Does that sound like a heroine and a hero to you, dear friends? They had refused to return to Israel because it was so much more cushy and nice in the kingdom of Persia. And they decided to lie to the king and not let him know that Esther was Jewish for whatever reason.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky, it's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.